When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, it's been a very, very lively show today here on Gwen and Chris. Braden Soprenant here in studio, Adam Klug here in studio. I'm Matt Scraby. You can follow me at Matt Scraby. You can follow Braden at B_SURP.
Yep, B-SURP.
And find Adam?
Social media.
At Adam Klug?
Apparently there was an Adam Klug when I first started out, so it's Adam_Klug.
Adam_Klug. So you could also follow the station at 97.3 The Fan SD. And if you want to watch on YouTube, all of our shows are on YouTube now here on the station, including Braden's Sunday show and my Scraby show when it comes back, The Roundtable, and America's Finest Football Show.
Yeah, that re-airs on Thursday nights, but since we have Padres
tonight, tell us a little bit about that
only
real
be
quick.
On my platform tonight.
What do you go over in that show?
Go over a lot of mostly high school football. We do dabble in some San Diego State college, very briefly talk NFL, but it's a football show for all of you football fans here in San Diego, Monday nights after Monday Night Football from 10 to midnight. Ooh. And then it re-airs on YouTube on Thursday. So again, tonight with the Padres, it will be on my YouTube page at B_SURP, but more times than not, it will be on the 97 through the Fan YouTube page as well. But it's in podcast form. Wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Odyssey, Apple.
Anywhere.
You can also find my Sunday show, which I'm off again this week because I'll be in Des Moines, Iowa, coming back late from Des Moines, Iowa. So 2 weeks in a row, the Braden Soprenant show, not on the Sunday, but the following week, we'll be ready to go, hopefully talking some Padres divisional series.
All right. At that point, everybody, please support all the shows on the station. Just park yourself on YouTube all day. Don't go to work. Just make sure you're listening to 97.3 The Fan all day. Thank you, everybody. Now, if you're on the phone, stay there because we're going to play Braden versus the Fans here in just a second. First, I need to tell you the prizes. The first prize is a qualification to Las Vegas. It's a grand prize, a two-night stay at Wynn or Encore Las Vegas, and two tickets to see Awakening, which is the thrilling spectacle at Wynn Las Vegas. It dazzles audiences with soaring aerialists, bounding acrobats, high-energy choreography, and comedic moments. And at the heart of this compelling story, a hero must confront the forces of light and darkness in a quest to save the world. A mythic adventure unfolds set amid the most technologically immersive theater ever designed. Tickets are on sale now at awakening.com. And if you win today, you will actually win these tickets, a pair of tickets to Eric Clapton at Pechanga Arena on October 8th. Limited tickets remain at AXS.com. So 833-288-0973. Let's get into it.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know Gen 4.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Braden gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Braden gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question, or you win. And Chris vs. the Fans is presented by SD Fat Loss. Lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 60 days. Visit SDFatLoss.com to schedule your free consultation. One more rule. If you are a first-time player, let us know before you get into it, and you'll get that first question for free. I don't even really know how that came about, but everywhere we go now when we do stuff out and about, people yell, playa!
That's kind of funny.
Adam, have you ever heard this story? There's a listener who works in a hospital, and they're like an intake person at the hospital, and some guy was checking in for the first time, and I guess our listener said, oh, so you're a first-time playa!
That's great.
Wow. That is great. I thought that was funny. That's the guy said he looked at him like, huh? What is going on here? I'm in the hospital. All right, here we go. Let's get to our first contestant. Let's go to Alex in Cardiff. Hello, Alex. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Here we go. You're playing Braden. So question number one. Which NFL player is known as the refrigerator?
I don't know.
Okay, you're playing the game. He does not know. Braden, do you know who is known as the refrigerator?
Is a refrigerator like Perry? Something Perry?
That is correct. I'll give it to you. I'm sorry about that, Alex. William Perry.
William
Perry. Okay.
When I was a kid, my grandpa, or my dad basically grew up in Chicago, so I knew all about the fridge growing up.
He basically did, or he did?
He did, and then he moved out of town, and then he came back, but basically he was a Chicago guy, and so I knew all about
the fridge. Get your cold cuts. Which is not Perry.
No, that's Icky Woods, I think.
Yes, he was doing the Icky Shuffle.
You know what? Let's go to a longtime Chris versus the Fans player. Brandon. Hello, Brandon.
What up, Gravy?
Not too much.
I'm Braden.
What's up?
All right. I know Brandon has played before, so here we go. Question number one. What year did the basketball world witness the Dream Team?
92
is correct. Nice job, Brandon. Here we go. Second question. What is it called when a volleyball player wins a point due to a successful immediate attack?
A spike?
That is incorrect. I mean, I think that's... Anyway, go ahead, Brandon.
It'd be a kill.
A kill is correct. I'm
sorry,
Brandon.
I played volleyball in high school.
You did?
I was a libero.
Oh.
With a small amount of time.
Look at you.
So I know volleyball.
I guess so. I did not. This is knowledge I did not have until today.
See, he's the questions are corrupt. I know
questions
them all.
Are corrupt.
He told me all the questions.
All right, let's go to Jason. Hello, Jason.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic.
All right, here we go. Question number one. There are two teams that have won the most Super Bowl titles. Name both.
Obviously, Dallas Cowboys is one. And I'm going to say, I might be wrong, the San Francisco 49ers.
Thank you for mentioning my team. That is incorrect. Stay right there. Braden, do you know the two teams who have tied for most Super Bowl titles?
Were they both incorrect?
I can't tell you that.
Oh,
you
can't say. I'd say the Steelers and the 49ers.
Incorrect. You are still alive, Jason. It's the Steelers and the Patriots.
Well, the Patriots passed up.
I love that. Everybody thinks the 49ers have won so many Super Bowls. That makes me feel good.
That's because they're the best team money can buy for a salary
cap.
Maybe you shouldn't feel good because they didn't actually win those championships.
They haven't won.
They've been to
a last time they've won was 1995.
Listen, my team's never won one, and they've gotten humiliated.
Okay.
So.
All right.
I was born.
49ers have lost the last three that they've played in. So, all right, here we go, Jason. Question number two. What Major League Baseball player has walked the most times this season?
Well, I'm gonna go with the obvious. It's gonna be either. Let's go with Judge.
Judge is correct. I thought you were going to go Juan Soto there for a second because Juan Soto leads the league and walks all the time. I did write this question yesterday, but I think Aaron Judge has enough walks between him and Juan Soto.
I don't know?
I'm just checking. I wrote this yesterday. I don't think Juan Soto is going to get four walks. Okay, yes. Aaron Judge is now, he's leading by five walks, so I'm safe here.
Oh, my God.
All right, third and final question.
Yes, it's the same.
Unless Juan Soto walked five times yesterday, there was no chance.
He could have.
He could have, but he did not. All right, Jason. Who is the shortest player to have ever played in the NBA?
Spud Webb.
Spud Webb is a great answer. It is incorrect. Stay right there. Bray. Who's the shortest player to have ever played in the NBA?
Muggsy,
we know that Brayton's a huge NBA fan, right?
I forgot.
Is that the dude in Space Jam? Is it Muggsy? What's his name? Muggsy Bogues, something like that?
Muggsy Bogues.
Wow. Brayton got it.
Wow.
Muggsy Bogues is correct.
Thank you, Space Jam.
Muggsy Bogues. He was 5'3". I loved Muggsy Bogues growing up. He was great.
He was great in Space Jam.
Did he ever play for the Hawks? I feel like he... No? Okay. Let's go to our next...
Spud Webb did.
Spud Webb. Okay, that's where I got it mixed up. Let's go to our next contestant. We're going to go to Jake in Oceanside. Hello, Jake.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. Here we go. Question number one. Who was the first... Actually, I'm sorry. That's a question number two. What is the name of the trophy awarded to the Super Bowl champions?
Oh, my God.
The Lombardi Trophy.
Correct. Technically Vince Lombardi Trophy, but you're fine. Everybody calls it the Lombardi Trophy. Question number two, Jake. Who holds the record for the most receiving touchdowns in a single season?
Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice is incorrect. Great guess, though. Brayden, who holds the record for most receiving touchdowns in a single season?
Straight cash, homie. Randy Moss.
Wow, that is correct. He had 23 touchdowns.
That was with the Patriots, right?
Yes, it was. It was.
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie. You know what commercial I love is the one with all the old guys?
They come
Emmett
back.
Emmett Smith and Dan Marino. He's trying to look at his play sheet, and he's got his glasses on. I think we're going to have to go tiebreaker right now because we got to move things along a little bit. So here's how the tiebreaker works, Brayden. I'm going to guess a random player. Let's get an A's player. Let's go Dennis Eckersley. And I'm going to ask you for a number. It's going to make sense in a second. I just got to get his stats
real quick. Is this like a magic trick?
No, it's not like a magic trick. So I'm going to ask you, and Jake is eliminated, right? Yes, Jake is eliminated. Okay, let's go to Benoit. Benoit, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, here
is
we go.
Joaquin?
We are playing the tiebreaker. So, Brayden.
Yes.
How many saves did Dennis Eckersley have in his career?
I don't know, 325.
325. Benoit, is the actual answer higher or lower?
Oh, higher.
Higher is correct. Nice job, Benoit. You are the winner. You stay right there. We're going to get your information, the actual number of saves. 390 in Dennis Eckersley's career. Can't believe that guy. He played for 24 years, it says right here.
Three, what did I say? Three what?
325. You weren't too bad.
That's not too bad.
Weren't too bad. All right. We have our winner. We're going to go to break. When we get back, we're going to discuss Fernando Tatis Jr., Mookie Betts. Do we have an issue with them sitting down for a podcast this week? We'll talk about it when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Two more segments to go before the 97.3 The Fan roundtable replay they did this morning. So that'll happen at 5 p.m. And then you have Sammy Levitt with the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show starting at 6:10 today. So stick around. We still have the big five left. But in this segment, we are going to talk about floating around the internet all afternoon long. And I guess the people out there have somewhat of an issue. So I'll play it first and then we'll talk about it. But Mookie Betts had Fernando Tatis Jr. on his podcast, and it must have been recorded like yesterday because in the podcast they talked about the triple play. But here is what Mookie said about the situation.
A lot of people in the chat, and I'm sure in the comments and whatnot, are thinking that they're saying that it's funny and kind of crazy that we're doing a podcast right now in the midst of the race. And so my take on it, and I'll let you talk, but my take on it is the game, during the game, like, we'll be fighting to win the game. Like, that's a given. That's between the lines, right? But I think I may have said it before, like, the brotherhood that's created playing this game is what you'll always remember.
Mm-hmm.
When we get older, we're going to always remember Tatis as a great player, right? But I'm going to remember who you were.
Yeah.
The person that you are, how you treated me, how we, our relationship, more than the baseball stuff. And so for me, like, right now, this is, we're living a normal life.
Yeah, this is fire.
You know, this is a normal. Now, when the game starts,
yeah, we're fighting.
We're fighting, right? And so I want to hear your take on it. Like, what do you think about it?
I definitely appreciate this, you know, because you said, like you mentioned, this is where we're going to take this. When we're going to remember the home runs and like the hits, yeah, and all that is pretty. But, you know, the people that you meet on the way, that at the same time, so many different backgrounds, but at the same time, also so similar,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like
very similar,
yeah, very similar, and like sharing stories and like having that respect for that guy, that you know how much of hard work you need to do to be in the place that you are, and being, you know, around people with that same amount of workload, that same amount of dedication, of passion for the game, I mean, is probably the best thing that you're going to.
That's what we. That's how.
And you could find the rest of that. You could find the interview online if you just search for Mookie Betts podcast. But the major issue, apparently, is that Fernando Tatis Jr. and Mookie Betts sit down to talk about baseball during the season, during a divisional race. And I'm assuming that happened yesterday before the game that they played. So they still didn't know which team was going to win last night. And so it could have been a different result. The Dodgers ended up winning. My take on this is, who cares? They are friends. It's okay to be friends with other people. I'm friends with people in this business. Braden's friends with people in this business.
Yeah, I like Adam.
Okay,
I'm just kidding.
Adam, you're just kidding. Sam, don't even get me started on Sam Levitt.
That's right.
Adam like knows people, but basically, this is not the era anymore where guys have to hate each other. In my opinion, I don't care if a guy is sitting there spitting in some guy's face because he's so locked in on being a San Diego Padre. I can't talk to a Dodger. I hate you. That's just not how this world works anymore. That's just not how I operate. And this is a non-issue for me. If anything, I think this is great, because now you get to see two high-level baseball players, two superstars, sitting down and talking about current baseball events. And I think that's more valuable than being mad at them for having a podcast during the season. I think this is a good thing, and I like it.
I don't really have an opinion about it either way. All I do, what people need to understand, is rivalries in sports are in the stands. They're not on the field or in the court. You know, in terms of like that utter hatred, it's a different time now. These guys are all colleagues. They all work for Major League Baseball. You know, it's this, they're all in the same boat together. And eventually, especially with free agency and trades now in this day and age of sport and the way the All-Star game is. And I mean, all these guys end up playing with each other at some point in time as well. I mean,
they text each other all the time. They call each other.
You know, they're more alike than they are with the fans, right? I mean, they're in their own little world. So, you know, I don't really have a problem with this. I know, you know, Dodger fans and Padres fans probably lose their mind. But again, the rivalry is in the stands.
Yes.
It's not on the
field. The rivalry is the fans.
That's in all sports right now. I mean, you could talk about all the big college rivalries, right, throughout college athletics, and that's like our school versus your school. But with the way the transfer portal is, and the way that these guys all played high school ball together, I mean, they don't hate each other, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, there might be some players that dislike other players in the league. They might have their own personal rivalries. But the reality is, the rivalries in the stands when it comes to sports, it's not on the field. And those guys, you know, they don't hate each other as much as maybe the fans do.
JH619 on the chat said, if it's Max Muncy, it's different. I kind of agree with that, but that's just mainly a joke. I don't think Max Muncy is going to have his own podcast, but I agree with you 100%. They cross each other's paths all the time. I think Mookie Betts is a cool dude. I think that he is a good guy, and I want to hear what he has to say with Fernando Tatis Jr. I mean, where can you get a breakdown of the triple play between two players on opposing sides unless they sit down for a podcast? This is a non-issue for me.
You know what, dude? I used it during the break, and if anybody hasn't seen Heat, this is the scene where Al Pacino and Robert De Niro are sharing a cup of coffee together at the diner before, you know, the big heist goes down the next day. And, you know, they're talking about their lives and, you know, what you know, just the different perspectives,
yes,
right? As you have a bank robber and the cop that's trying to stop said bank robber. And they both know who each other are, and they both said, you know, they had this peaceful conversation, right? This civil conversation at the diner. And then that, right, as it ended, it was like, you know, just understand, if it's between you and me, you know, if you're in the way of me getting what I need to get, I will not hesitate. And the same thing was said by Al Pacino. And I think the same thing is said in this conversation. I mean, obviously, they're still going to compete against each other on the field, right, the next day and potentially in the postseason. But at the same time, I mean, they're still human beings like we are too. And yeah. I'm not saying it's soft. I'm not saying they need to have the fight. I mean, I think people need to understand the reality of the situation. And in professional sports, the athletes are more like each other than they are like the fans.
Exactly.
And they work together. They're employed by the same employer.
They call it Major League Baseball. The fraternity of baseball.
Right. They're employed by Major League Baseball. Same thing like Scraby brought up in this industry. With the amount of people that move around from station to station in sports media, I mean,
you're going to be on the same team and the other team.
I've worked with a lot of people in town that are at different places now that might be considered rival places. I mean, at the end of the day, maybe the companies are rivals, but that doesn't mean us individually are, right? And same thing said, like, when I was in high school, all the Catholic schools jumped into Cathedral or Saints, and I had so many friends that went to Saints, and at the end of the game, you know, I'd like to kick my buddy's ass, right, in the game, but after the game, it was like, yeah,
it was fun.
Hey, we're going out to whatever after that. Hey, let's
and then
go.
You joke, you'd be like, remember how hard I hit you on that third down?
Right.
And then it's just fun. Bobby
exactly.
says on the chat something I think we should end with, which is, when I was in the Army, we had beef with all the other branches and vice versa, but when we were deployed, we were all fighting the same war,
yeah.
and some of those dudes are still my best friends. Like they said
it's
in
like
the video.
Army-Navy game.
When
right?
they're playing the game, they're enemies.
Right.
When the game is over, they're going to go to dinner together.
And that doesn't mean like
okay.
certain players don't
True.
Dislike other players.
There are
because
players
there
out
are
there.
Players yes. that I'm sure the Padres players don't like on every team. And that might have a little bit of a rivalry there too. And there are some bad blood between a lot of teams, just because traditionally the Padres and the Dodgers fans have butted heads doesn't
yes.
mean all the Padres and Dodgers absolutely hate each other.
Yeah. All right. We are coming to the final segment of this show, and then you'll have the Padres 97.3 The Fan Roundtable at 5 p.m. But when we get back, we have the Big Five. And today we're going to talk about many different things, as always. But the first thing we're going to talk about is No-No Joe and his surprising record against the Dodgers. I'm going to ask Tony and Braden for their thoughts. So stick with us here. We'll be back shortly on 97.3 The Fan. Back here in the Odyssey Palace, 97.3 The Fan, we have a Big Five right now. But first, we need to get you your traffic report.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only...
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's get started today with a little bit of No-No Joe talk, because I was listening to the roundtable today.
Number five.
And the morning show, and I heard Paul say it, that Joe Musgrove, it's something that really, really, really surprised me. In his career against the Dodgers, Joe Musgrove is 0-7 in 12 appearances against the team. He has an ERA of 4.48 and 62 Ks in those 12 appearances. So I'm going to ask you this, Tony, and I think I know your answer, but is this a thing or is it coincidence?
Wait, is it a thing or is it coincidence?
Is his struggle against the Dodgers a thing?
Yeah, no, I understand the first question. I'm just repeating it to myself. That
okay,
wasn't
sorry.
Really meant for you to have anything to say. Yes, I think that it is not coincidence. I think the Dodgers have been amongst the best offenses in the game for the time frame that Joe has been a Padre. I assume those numbers were just with the Padres, not prior to that.
No, it's everything.
Pittsburgh as well.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so I mean, as long as Joe has been in the league, the Dodgers have been one of the best offenses in baseball. And so I don't think it's a coincidence, but I don't think it's a thing either. I think Joe has also gotten better over the course of time. I think his last few starts have probably dropped that ERA down a little bit because he's pitched better. I think, you know, it's a really good example of what we've seen in the first two games, right? Both pitchers, good pitchers, two of the best, Cease and King, had their pitch counts run up. And it's not necessarily about what they were doing. It's not all, I should say, about what they couldn't do. It's also about, you know, how the style in which the Dodgers play. They play a very similar style as the Padres. The Padres are just better at it right now than they are. And so I don't think it's a thing either. I think it's not a coincidence, but it's not a thing because I think Joe has evolved and gotten better over time. And listen, I think, you know, he has the Dodgers have had his number, in prior years. And so I don't think it's enough for you to for there to be a change in terms of, like, not having him face the Dodgers. He's still one of your best pitchers. You don't remove that from the equation.
All right, Braden, do you think Joe Musgrove's winless streak against the Dodgers is a thing or coincidence?
Well, I think Tony brings up a good point. I mean, if you're going against the Dodgers since Joe Musgrove started his Major League career, have been one of the best teams in Major League Baseball, and if you go against some of the best, you're going to have usually not as great numbers against the best. But if you look at it even further, because you can manipulate data any way you want. When did he become a Padre? After COVID, right? 2021? Oh, in 2018, he made one start against the Dodgers and gave up four runs, three of them earned. He's 0-1 with a 5.40 ERA in 2018 against the Dodgers. 2019, 0-2 with a 5.40 ERA. As soon as he joined the Padres, 0-1 with a 3 ERA in 2021, 0-2 with a 3.63 ERA in 2022, 0-1 with a 3.38 ERA in 2023. So, I mean, it's a lot better in a Padres uniform as he learns how to pitch and started to, you know, really gain his confidence in Major League Baseball and grow into the Major League Baseball player that he is. And then the one that really skews his numbers, as Tony mentioned, you know, was the game he started against them this year where he was banged up. 2 2/3 innings, he gave up five earned runs on seven hits with two walks and two strikeouts. His ERA this year against the Dodgers, in just 2 2/3 innings, obviously, is 16.88. So that number is a lot higher than probably it should be. But when you're going against some of the best bats in Major League Baseball, it's going to be a little bit higher than normal. But I think if you look at it from the perspective of him in a Padres uniform, it's not like they've destroyed Joe Musgrove, as a member of the Padres. Right.
All right.
Number four.
Aaron Judge is having a season for the ages, and even for the record books, the Yankees slugger hit his 57th home run last night against the Baltimore Orioles, and in addition to pulling him closer to the 60-homer threshold with four games to go, the homer gave Judge his 142nd RBI of the season, which makes him the first player since your guy, Tony, Prince Fielder, and Ryan Howard in 2009 to post 140 RBIs in a single season. Judge recorded 131 RBIs in his 62-homer season in 2022. Braden, in 100 years, are they going to talk about Aaron Judge like we talk about Babe Ruth?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, Babe Ruth has just become just this iconic name in baseball, and everybody knows about his name from, you know, movies and history and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't necessarily know. I mean, there might be another guy that comes through after Judge that continues to put up big numbers, you know, but he's definitely playing himself into a Hall of Fame level career with the numbers that he has. I think it's just it's different per era. Like, every era of baseball is so different in terms of the style of play, in terms of the rules, the amount of games, and what have you. Aaron Judge doing a lot of great things, and, you know, is there any other player that is, you know, up there with Babe Ruth? You know, I think everybody's era has got their own kind of Babe Ruth player that they like to bring up, but, you know, are people going to say Aaron Judge is the greatest baseball player of all time, like we've heard for so long as kids growing up listening about Babe Ruth? I don't necessarily know if that's the case, but, you know, it's an interesting topic of discussion because Aaron Judge is playing himself in the Hall of Fame these last couple of seasons.
Tony, do you think in 100 years they're going to talk about Aaron Judge like we talk about Babe Ruth?
I agree with Braden that there's probably going to be somebody that comes along and his name is actually Shohei Ohtani. That's who we'll be talking about.
Yes, that's
like
true.
Babe Ruth. when it's all said and done.
Aaron Judge doesn't pitch.
At least if he continues. He doesn't. And listen, I think Aaron Judge would still have to get in line behind somebody like Barry Bonds before we, in terms of position players. But Ohtani right now, he's setting a trail that only he is, or I should say, he's widening a trail that only Babe Ruth had been on. I think that's who will be two kids in 100 years most likely will be talking about if he continues to keep doing some of the things we've seen him do to this point.
You guys remember Mike Trout? Remember Mike Trout?
How could I ever forget?
You guys remember Mike Trout? Remember he was a baseball player that everybody thought was like kind of the same thing? These guys, they continue to get better and better and better. But, I mean, like I think Tony brings up a good point. Shohei Ohtani could be there. Does Aaron Judge get, in 100 years, get put behind Shohei Ohtani in terms of remembrance because Shohei is just so much better?
Yes.
Hopefully we're playing baseball in 100 years, but we'll see what happens.
You know what
he's coming up in the wrong. In terms of wanting to be the greatest ever, or in that conversation. I mean, he's just coming up at the wrong time. Like any other time that there wasn't a dude who was pitching and hitting at the level that Ohtani is, we would be having that conversation about him. But unfortunately, they're playing at the same exact time, and as long as he continues to do this, it's going to keep overshadowing. Aaron Judge.
Number three.
Ron Washington, the manager of the Angels, made this notable comment Ron Washington, everybody, made this notable comment to the LA Times yesterday in a story saying, quote, "We're going to get some baseball players who may not be superstars, but they know how to play. We forgot to bring real baseball players into the organization. Nothing against those guys here, but they're not big league baseball players, and they certainly can't help us win a championship," end quote. So he, obviously, this was a topic of conversation, so he was asked about it today. And today he said, quote, "I misspoke. I didn't mean it the way it came out. Where I'm saying the organization isn't giving me big league players, it's players that have to grow into big league players," end quote. So, Tony, what do you think of Ron Washington's bluntness?
If it's because spade is spade. It is what it is. I mean, this is kind of the same conversation that, you know, we had, I don't know how long ago it was, about, you know, athletes needing to hear the truth sometimes and, like, kind of, you know, different styles in which you can have. Here's why he has a leg to stand on. You know, because we see managers handle it differently, right? I think Mike Shill certainly is a manager that, at least publicly, he's never going to say anything bad or that can be perceived as negative towards his team. Now, behind the scenes, when he's talking about, he tells those guys the truth. That's a different way than what Ron is doing here. But the difference is, unfortunately for those guys, they don't have much of a leg to stand on. I mean, as a team this year, they are 63-95. That's 22 games back. They have been outscored by 143 runs this year. I'm sure the guys in that locker room who are big leaguers know he's not talking about them. There are a few, and there are some in there. No, certainly. Catcher, Ohapi, baller. They got some guys on there that can play, but there's a bunch of guys that, you know, are still trying to prove that they're big leaguers, and I think that's what he's getting at. You get some dudes who can play, who, you know, understand what it is to be a big leaguer and how to play the game at that level, and you get better results than 63-95. Listen, the Padres in 2023 were a super talented team that didn't do a lot of the things that needed to be done in order to win games, and they finished just above 500, and that's with a ton of talent. So imagine if you're not doing those things without that kind of talent, and that's what the Angels have right now. And you know, that's what he's getting at. We want some baseball players. They don't need to be superstars. They just need some guys who can play.
It's a good explanation, Tony. Braden, what do you think of Ron Washington's bluntness?
I think he probably misspoke a little bit. I think we all can figure out what he was trying to say. And, you know, he doesn't have the big leaguers yet. They had a lot of young guys up there trying to play. as Tony alluded to. So I wouldn't weigh too much into, you know, what he said. And as Tony said, I mean, they have no leg to stand on. You can't get upset about that. The facts are what the facts are. And the-
by the way, mind you, these comments are coming after losing two games to the worst team in baseball.
A walk-off and so an eighth inning imagine, comeback.
But still, the White Sox can imagine a lot of games like how,
That's what I'm saying. That's how. So you can imagine after the game having these conversations, what the kind of stuff that's going through his mind at this point.
And he's got like 10 minutes, 15 minutes at the end of that game to go out there and clear his thoughts. And, you know, we know Ron Washington doesn't hold back and says, you know, mean what you say, say what you mean. I like that a little bit more than sometimes the managers just try to, you know, beat around the bush. But, again, I think it's just he's speaking facts. And hey, you know what? That's why they got to say it. You don't like it? Play better. You don't have to worry about it.
But my feelings are hurt, Braden.
Ding. Yeah, no, I get it. I get your feelings might be hurt, but let's focus on. If I'm one of those players, and I am, my feelings, but no, not even winning. Okay, what do I need to do to get better so that he ain't talking about me?
When you're looking at the scoreboard, because
if you're feeling some type of way about it, it's likely that there's a piece of you that knows, damn, he's talking about me.
I love Ron Washington, so. We'll go forward with that.
I like him in there.
Number two.
Now, just talking about the White Sox, they left San Diego tying the Mets for the most number of losses in a season at 120. Was it the 62 Mets? I think it was a 1960. Yes. Yeah, 62
it's
Mets.
60-something Mets.
Okay. They were
the expansion team.
Okay, so one more loss, and the White Sox are making history all on their own. And as we just kind of mentioned, the last two nights, though, they are trying history. Tuesday night, the White Sox were down 2-0 heading into the bottom of the eighth. They scored three runs to win that game. Last night, they went to extras and had a walk-off win over the Angels. And today, they are playing the Angels. And so if they win today, they stave off history again. After today, though, they have three more left in Detroit. So, Braden, do you think they lose one more game?
I think they do because the Detroit Tigers need a win to make the postseason, and the only thing standing in their way right now are the Chicago White Sox. And I've talked about this a couple of times. You look at the American League standings, you got the Twins, the Royals, and the Tigers all battling for playoff spots. And the reality, the only reason why they are, is because the Twins are 12-1 against the White Sox, the Royals are 12-1 against the White Sox, and the Tigers are 9-1 against the Chicago White Sox. If those teams played, if it was any type of divisional competition like you usually see, give or take around 500, like most division series last in the regular season, all three of those teams would be out of a playoff spot because most of them would be under 500. So the Tigers are going to be there. They see an opportunity to make the postseason. They're going to go after it. I don't care if Garrett Crochet is pitching or not. The Tigers are going to definitely beat the Chicago White Sox at least one time this weekend. There could be nothing worse than a team that's trying to get into the postseason, get swept by the Chicago White Sox, and lose their way out. Again, that Mets team went 40-120 in 1962. Who knows how many more losses they would have had if they played 100. They did play 162 games. What if they had two more games to deal with?
Tony, do you think they lose one more game, or do they stave off history?
I hope they don't. I hope they win. I hope they win out. I think it'd be great. A great story that they got to 120 and then won out to stave off being the worst team ever in history. And it also show you that these dudes have started to have some type of belief. Think about this. They had lost 20 consecutive series before winning the series that they won before coming to San Diego. Now, they got swept against one of the best teams in baseball. But all of those games were really technically competitive, with the exception of the middle game, which I think kind of got away. Padres added a couple runs there late. But they competed, and I appreciate it. Remember, they've had a coaching change. Grady Sizemore, his decision to keep Crochet, pushes Start back to face Detroit because he wants to give him the best game. I love that. I actually do. And so I'm hoping they pull it off. It's likely they'll lose at least one game, but I think it would be super cool to see him, see that team pull off, just avoiding it, at least showing that they are going to compete to the end.
All right.
number one.
Now, a civil lawsuit has been filed in Florida that claims 18-year-old Max Mattis is the rightful owner of the Shohei Ohtani 50-50 home run ball that is set to be auctioned off beginning tomorrow. I guess Golden Auction House announced the ball was going to be available with an opening bid of $500,000, and then attorneys for Mattis filed the lawsuit against the New Jersey-based auction house and Chris Polanski, the man who came away with the ball, and against his friend Kelvin Ramirez. So the lawsuit claims that Mattis was able to, quote, firmly grab the ball in his left hand, successfully obtaining possession of the 50-50 ball, end quote. But Polanski put his arm in between his legs and wrangled the ball out of Max's left hand, adding that it was forcefully taken away from him. So he is really trying to claim this ball, this 18-year-old kid. Now, my question is for you, Tony. You're up first here. When does possession of the ball take place?
Look at the NFL rules for that.
I know. Well, no one still knows when possession takes place.
Oh, man. When does possession take place?
Is it the first person to grab it and have their hands fully around it?
Did he complete the catch? What does Des Bryant have to say?
I would say yes once you get your forearm grip on it. Like, and if somebody's got to put your arm between their legs in order to get it
out of my legs, dude. What are you doing?
First of all, with that kind of money online, dude's whole midsection region would have been taken out if it were me. Like, you try to lock my hand in there, we're going to play dirty then. That's fine. I think, you know, if he's telling the truth, who knows? Yeah. Like, he may not be telling the truth about this at all. But if he's telling the truth, yeah, he should get the ball.
Braden.
We'll see the video evidence, right? I mean, you can't walk five steps in this country without being on camera. I mean, they have to have that on video somewhere with the amount of cameras that they have.
No, they do. At these Major League Baseball stadiums, the ones I've seen aren't the clearest in the world. But...
Maybe I have to check a look at it then. But you know, if what he claims to be is true, then I think he's got a rightful case. But at the same time, as Tony said, man, that's a very valuable ball right there. So you gotta fight your way out of that. Guy's got your arm between his legs. I mean, there's a quick way out of that with most males. That's going to drop his ass every single time. So I don't know why the kid didn't do that. I mean, if it was really worth it to him, he would have been throwing some haymakers in there. And he, like as Tony said, if we're going to lay in the muck, man, it's going to be dirty down there. So, you know, if you wanted to keep the ball, dude, you should have fought a little bit more to keep the ball and not get lawyers involved. This entire story is major eyewash. I'm going to have to see the video surveillance. But you know what, man? If it was important to you, you would have won the fight.
I mean, that kind of
money? Shoot.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of money, and I've watched the video from many different angles, and to me, there's no clear way to tell that this kid had the ball. However, it was a melee. There were people diving over tables. There were people boxing people out. There were people doing things that they probably would never do in a normal life, in normal daily life.
This happened in Miami, right?
Yeah. If I threw a case of $500,000,
I think I did see it, man. There definitely was someone like underneath a chair, and the chair was being used to like
block,
try to dislodge him, but the guy who had the chair on them ended up with the ball. So I didn't see him use his legs to dislodge anything.
This is not like a football catch. Maybe it was. This is like a fumble recovery in the National Football League. Those piles are dirty.
They're melees.
I was in piles like that in high school, and they were dirty. It's probably even worse at the NFL level, and probably even worse that the ball was worth $500,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, kid, work on your hand strength next time. It won't be taken away from you.
Go join an MMA gym.
All right. That's it for the Big Five. And that's it for the show, everybody. We have the roundtable coming up next, the roundtable replay from this morning. Ben and Woods, Paul, and Annie and Elston were on the roundtable. So that's coming up next. Stick around, 97.3 The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best.
What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles, plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.